Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, February 2nd already, believe it or not.
Already
in the second month of 2021. I think that's good, right? We're all here.
One week closer to bacon wrapped hot dogs.
There you go. We're talking about that. Bacon wrapped hot dogs.
Oh,
that's all he's thinking about.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that in a few minutes, but we got a great guest tonight, Brendan Tracy. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me on tonight.
No problem. We appreciate you coming down here and putting up with these guys. hosting along with myself tonight, the man on a mission, Mr. Gary White.
How are you guys doing?
What's happening? What's the mission? It's a secret.
Bacon wrapped hot dog.
That is this month. So
that's right.
We'll be talking more about that. But
26 days.
Oh, my God. The countdown begins.
Uh-huh.
Of course, Freak 33, or what do you like to be called?
Yeah, that, no, that's
you're just Freak. Yeah, people call him Freak.
Yep. That is what everyone calls me.
Matt Esposito, thank you for being here.
What were you going to say? You had something to say.
I was just going to say that the Racers Barbecue is one day before my birthday.
Which comes once every 4 years. Matt, what's happening, Matt?
Staying busy.
Yeah.
Staying busy.
We can call you Freak, but not Freak 33 because you don't have a 33 number to put on a race car.
I don't have a 33 right now. No. I mean, I could put it on my
vehicle. Put it on your vehicle.
That's a good idea.
That's a good step towards getting it on the track.
They might encourage other people, like police officers.
He might make new friends out there.
Yeah, I
couple.
Again, thanks, Brendan. We haven't forgotten about you, by the way. But we want to find out a little more about you. But you guys, or not you, but you, Gary, had been able to see Brendan actually race here locally.
And from Mexico to Las Vegas.
That's right. There's a story behind that, right?
Yes. Oh, no.
It's a secret.
Now we're allowed to advertise.
You're allowed to talk about
it. Mexico was fun while it lasted.
That's right.
Back to Vegas.
Yep. Back to Vegas. There you go.
Back to Vegas.
So Brendan, you're a Legends car racer, driver, owner, I guess, all that? Or
my parents own the car, but you can call me that if you want. And racer, driver.
Cool. And I think if you were to double, triple, and quadruple your age, you wouldn't equal any of us. So tell us how old you are, first of all.
I'm 16 years old.
16
so.
Years old. When's your birthday? You mind us asking?
December 16th.
December. So you just turned 16.
Not long ago here.
Wow. In December. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, he got here by himself, so I assume you have your license.
My mom brought me since I'm still on my permit.
Almost. You're this close.
Almost. Almost.
Well, you know, that's one thing about today's racing world. When I wish the racing was prevalent in my life at your age, but, you know, I did a lot of street stuff.
Not illegal stuff.
You and me.
They were more lax back then, but not the type of racing that we have available today. And you've experienced the same stuff.
Yep.
But we don't encourage street racing, by the way.
Don't encourage no illegal activities.
But you know the age.
We did have some private land. You go out to the cornfields and somebody owns the land from here to here. We'd go out and drag race and stuff.
Until they started shooting you with salt rocks, right?
Cornfield racing. I didn't have that. We just stuck to the streets. We were dangerous. That was pretty bad. But you know the drivers today are younger and younger, and you know. a person 16 years old nowadays isn't just getting into racing. They've actually have like quite a few years of experience behind them.
They're racing before driving. Before racing.
Right.
I don't know if that's how that's supposed to work anyway.
So, well, let's talk about you a little bit here. Since it's your show tonight, we're here for you tonight, Brendan. So, your racing experience, how far back does it go in your life?
So, I started actually driving when I was 10.
Oh, okay.
I was able to sit down with my parents and let them know that this is what I wanted to do.
Did you do any karting or anything like that? Is that what you're talking about?
I spent 2.5 years in karting. At
what age?
From 10 to probably 12.
Okay, so that's when you first decided. Did you see karting like on just on TV or how'd you hear
cartoon.
About karting?
Cartoon.
I had been looking into it for quite a while, just researching like ways to get into racing because it's what I had wanted to do.
Did you like watch TV? You've seen racing on TV? I mean, what made you a fan at that age?
So at like 2 or 3, my grandpa showed me a NASCAR race on TV.
Oh, really? Cool.
I really got into it at that point. And
do you remember like what driver stood out to you at that age? I know I can't think of like 2 years ago, let alone 2 years old or 3 years.
I was always in a pretty interesting situation. I was always a fan of everyone.
Okay.
So it wasn't like I had a specific driver at that time.
Well, that's cool because you like the sport.
I like the sport in general instead of like fandoming over a certain driver and getting upset when they lose or something.
Right.
So.
Well, cool. And then so thanks to Grandpa. And we love you, Grandpa, for introducing someone to the racing world because that's what we love to do here is, you know, as hobbies and things like that. So you were able to get into liking something about was it NASCAR? I'm assuming
it was NASCAR at that time. Now I watch anything and everything
anything that's on wheels, right?
Anything on wheels.
That's what we like to hear. So you were exposed to some karting, I guess, at that time, and you wanted to get into it. And what sparked that? Was it just?
You know, it's a hard question.
Yeah, it is, but that's what we do here.
Loaded
question.
Playing baseball and soccer and all these other sports and just couldn't click it. I wasn't that great of an athlete. I wasn't top notch. I had knee issues and body issues, so I couldn't.
So you didn't like perform because you know people say you know you have driving and racing is you know a sport, obviously. Just a different type of sport, but
different
physically,
type of sport.
Physically,
I wasn't the best athlete outside of the racing world. And then sat down and was able to talk to my stepdad and my mom and get into it.
Was that here locally in Vegas?
Was here locally, yeah.
Okay.
Born and raised.
Oh, cool. Vegas born. Cool.
So
did you, at that point, did they take you to any of the like fast lap or pole position, any of those places?
Yeah, we've been going to those places, and I mean, to be honest, wasn't doing awesome. You know, just
what did you think of that the first time you got into? Let's say, where did you go? Was it fast lap or pole? Do you remember fast lap?
I remember fast lap. Yeah, that was the first place I probably. Well, Las Vegas Mini Grand Prix was obviously the first one.
Yeah,
when I was like 3, but
okay.
Fast lap was the first speedy.
Okay.
Semi speedy. First time doing something like that wasn't the best, but it was a good smile on my face.
Right? Yeah. Did you race against your folks?
I raced against my family. And,
What'd you think of that though? I mean, was it you got that excitement?
Got the adrenaline rush I was looking for.
Well, that's good because sometimes you know we play different sports, like you said, football, base, whatever it is, soccer, different things like that, and you just don't get that.
But you were kind of on your own. You didn't have any mentors or friends that were doing it.
Not at the time. I made friends when I got there.
Okay.
So.
So then you kind of started off just like any other sport. You start off as a newbie and you're trying to learn as you're going along.
For sure.
So you didn't have like a, you know, like an Aiden Kaiser or a McMorrin or somebody like, hey, how you doing? You know, in your ear and kind of teaching you stuff.
I have that Aiden Kaiser now. That's for sure. And then I've made friends along the way and that have been great to me and provided great input. So,
good. Sorry, I was like 90 degrees in here. I turned the heat off. I missed a whole segment here. So, what were we talking about?
Talking about mentors.
No, I was just talking. So, when he started karting, you know, it was just him and his family. They weren't starting from, you know, a friend or a mentor or someone who's like, oh, hey, I'll show you the ropes.
He so, just started out basically just, hey, you know, I've seen this on TV. I want to get in that some kind of seat, and you've heard about carding and things
can
like
I do
that.
This?
Right?
And then,
end up going to, well, yeah, what'd you like better, like a pole position or a fast lap, the electric cars, or did you like the gas powered? Or
I like the gas powered, but my heart's with the electric ones because of the speed difference.
Right, you got
they're a whole lot faster.
Yeah, absolutely, you got more torque, and they just pick up and go fast.
A lot more torque. Yeah.
But you don't get the like the lightheadedness from being in a warehouse with the
gas going.
You get a different experience from that. Yeah, it is sad to see.
You
that
get a different headache.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it is a shame to see a place like that go to waste. You know, be gone. Because you know it was fun to do that, and of course when pole position came out, you have air conditioning and no fumes, you know, and all that, and of course the electric vehicles have all that torque and power. The only bad thing I don't like about the electric is they can kind of limit you, and there's like people, you know, getting into it and stuff.
Yeah, when you're actually showing what you can do, they limit you.
They're like, hey, this guy. Hey, being at pole position, have you done any other tournament style type races?
I have not.
You should do it. They have. I don't know if they still do it today. I'm sure they do. They have different types of events and things like that, and you know, they used to print out a list of you know. Your rating and all that for, I don't know if it was a day or the week or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But
day, week, month.
Has it
like
been
that.
A while since you've been to pole position?
It has since COVID started. We didn't really do it much.
Dang COVID.
Right.
COVID puts a damper on everything, doesn't it? We've been talking about doing maybe a after show competition because they got like Tuesday specials.
they do have this Tuesday specials going.
Right. So we're, you know. Maybe we'll do something like that. We'll challenge. We'll to do the old guys
against
the new guys.
The young guys.
Yeah. Which I'm pointing to Gary, by the way. The old guys against the young guys. So. I'll point to you, Matt.
I'd be
happy to have four wheels.
We'll just bring some memories to stick on for you.
Just so you know, after about four laps, my arms start hurting. So.
That used to be fast lap. I used to get, like, after all them... Because then every cart was a little bit different. You know, you had some that didn't turn as good and all that, and you get like super tired.
And carts are so twitchy anyway. They're hard to drive.
Yeah.
What's that other one on Las Vegas Boulevard and Sunset?
Gene Woods.
Woods. I went there and did about 8 laps, and I was like, I'm never doing this again. I can't move, man.
You still get the power steering in your bomber cars, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So when you got into karting, like, just for fun, when did you actually decide? Did you do competition karting? Did you go out to the kart racing? Did you actually start racing karts?
Yes, we went out to LVKC, Las Vegas Karting Championship, and while they were operating there, we ran there.
Was that out of Vegas?
That was out of Vegas, here, behind the Bullring Grandstands, that kart track there. So,
What got you into that? It's actual... competition with karting, the same thing. You just told the folks, "Hey,
pretty much,
I want to go racing." Do they say, "Well, you have to have good grades," or what? Do they?
I've always carried good grades.
That's good. So it's a good way to do it. So they don't have to give you any ultimatums.
Yeah, I didn't really have many ultimatums there, but we went out, checked it out, and found where it was at first because we had never really been out there before.
Did you go to the track to find
to find some carts that were available for sale or for?
What'd you think when you walked up to that track? I mean, were you excited?
I was excited. I mean, at a racetrack,
like,
can't be
thinking about
their
wallet getting lighter.
For sure. They're like, oh.
Did you sit and watch for a little bit? Like, this is what I want to do.
Yeah, and got to test drive a cart later that day.
On that same day, really? Wow.
Ended up buying it and then going out first time and wrecking it. So, part of racing, you know.
Wrecking is part of racing. You know, it just sucks because we've all been there. We have all been in some type of wreck or another. So, but that you actually got to test drive the cart that you actually end up buying, huh?
Yes.
Wait, did you talk? I mean, Tim Rickert.
Tim Rickert.
Yeah, they're
Reichert.
Yeah. They're really. a good group of people out there running that.
For sure.
So, you know, they really look out for the locals and the mm-hmm. karting group.
Speaking of that, they're building a kart track out at Speed Vegas now, I guess. So.
Yeah, I think they've been racing there, haven't they?
Oh,
I know that there's a race this weekend.
Is it the
kart race this weekend?
Yeah. And probably not allowed to really spectate, right? But you can kind of watch.
I think they're welcoming it. Probably not legally,
right?
But,
I mean, so if you happen to be checking out Speed Vegas and want to see some kart mm-hmm. racing,
yeah,
now that's pretty cool. Because that's a whole different introduction to racing is in karting, and you get that road course experience and all that. So you're able to get a kart.
Yeah.
I mean, did you know anything about karting? Because there's so many different rules to karting that I can't even.
That don't apply
up.
Anywhere else either.
Right.
I didn't know anything. I'll be straight up honest. I knew nothing.
So you guys went in blind, huh?
We went in blind, and we found some good connections along the way, like
right.
Doug Creasy and Marco Lama and all them, and they helped us a lot to get to where I got towards the end of my karting career.
So when you started racing, what was it like your first time on the track? I mean, we always think we're going faster than we are.
I enjoyed it. Let's say I enjoyed it.
Right.
It wasn't very fast, but I enjoyed it for sure.
Right. Well, I think that's the first step is to not being, shied away from it. You liked it. You got excited about it, and that kept you in it. Whether you're going fast or not, that comes later.
Yeah, and all you can ask for is improvement and learning. Big learning curve.
Yes. So who's wrenching on this? Is it your dad? Or do you have friends?
Stepdad does a lot of wrenching on it. I help when I can and learning a lot more.
What type
about
of cart did you have?
We had multiple different chassis. We had some old.
I mean, because they base them off of like the CCs, I don't know what they are.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
Right. I was just curious because I know they had came up with like the LO206 class.
Yeah, those are interesting.
Well, they're more like the crate motor of kart racing,
Yeah, I compare them to the Bandos now.
Yeah,
because
that's true. Because they're limited.
They're limited. They're got the same pitch to them, kind of.
Right.
And about the same power.
Yeah, and I think they are similar motors. They use a Briggs motor.
Both Briggs and Stratton. So.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and they sound the same and all that. I've seen like they're a more affordable way to get into karting, and I actually bought a chassis because that's what I was going to do is turn it into one of those. But
yeah.
But then I met Gary and he made me do all kinds of other racing stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, man.
And now you're here on Tuesday night.
And now I'm here on Tuesday night. Imagine that.
And by the way, 9 years of Tuesday nights of doing this.
Yeah, that's true. January was
17th.
Yeah.
9 years. Well, he's been doing it a couple more months before me, but.
Yeah, you just start doing something.
I guess never leave, I guess.
I guess we like talking about local racing. That's what we're all about, local racers like yourself. So it's cool to be able to watch up-and-coming stars like yourself. So so for that karting, how many years? You said a couple years?
Two and a half years.
Racing, how'd you do overall, do you think? I mean, you've gained a lot of experience, obviously, a lot of seat time and things like that.
Average finish of third to fourth.
Nice.
Won a few races here and there, but
cool.
Not a road racer, we'll put it that way.
So from that experience, I mean, did you know about the track that was just on the other side, that oval track that was sitting there with all them big grandstands behind where you guys are racing?
I had never put two and two together.
Really?
I had never been to the Bowling before our first time
going
there.
Is that that place? The
That's that place, yeah. Behind the
little race behind the little go-kart track there. Yeah.
That thing.
So Bowling. Yeah.
Hey, easy.
I had never actually been to the Bowling before we went to check out our next step, which originally we were thinking Legend Cars, which I'm glad we didn't do.
So when you were racing the carts, I mean, you didn't even think about the oval track being there, right, next to you?
Honestly, I didn't put two together to even know it was there.
How did you end up making that transition after karting? Did you stop karting for a little while? Or
I did not. We had Mark and Enzo Lalama that jumped over there.
Right, yeah.
Followed us, kind of.
Okay.
They followed us and Ashton Leonard and
okay.
Sean Gresser and all them, and Landon and Logan Gresser, they had all kind of going that path. And we
did you hear him talking about it and things like that? And you knew
we had Ashton Leonard and Landon Gresser at the time that were in bandos and were loving it. And we went over to Road Course one night and one day and checked it out. And
that was on the big road course
on the big road course
right next to all that. And so you actually watch them race. Mm-hmm. What do they have there? The Legends?
They had the Legends, Bandos, and Thunder Roadsters.
Oh, they actually did the Bandos on there too?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And cool. Smotherman had a car for sale.
Oh, okay.
So that's how we got into Bandos.
Oh, no way. So you ended up you were racing the carts, you watched some road course, actual road course racing, and you still didn't have kind of an idea of oval track racing yet.
Well, we had been to the Boring a few times.
Oh, yeah.
Time to check out the Legend cars.
Oh, okay. So you were thinking about going directly into the Legends.
Yes.
Wow.
And I'm honestly glad we didn't do that.
Right.
Because Bandos taught me a little bit more about how to drive.
Absolutely.
Obviously, the bad habits of holding it to the floor, but shaken out of.
Right. You know, you got, no fear at that age. So
just hold it wide open and hope it sticks.
So you really get, you bought Smotherman's,
we ended up buying that car. So,
and then what was your first race? Was it on a road course?
First race was the Bullring season in 2018.
Oh, okay.
In a Bando. So,
all right. So you actually jumped right into oval.
Jumped right into oval.
Who's your, if you don't mind me asking, like wrenching on your Bando? Did you have Smothermans and all them guys help, or did you have different
tips? Tips and tricks, but
just,
stepdad was mainly the bench.
So he was out there learning himself.
Yeah.
Like, hey, what the heck? How are these guys doing this and that? And
coming from a no mechanic
background
to wrenching on race cars is.
That's a big step.
Huge.
And not many people can take that step. So that's cool. It's cool to hear that he took that beast on, because that's a lot.
Well, we've seen a couple of young drivers that we've had on the show that the dads have been kind of clueless.
Right.
But they're supporting their kids, and they're figuring out how to wrench on the cars for them.
Right. Different people around the track and getting tips, like you said. Not all tips are good tips, but they're good to hear because you get different ways people.
Hey, if you have parents that support you, that's step one.
Right.
Yeah. And when you're ignorant and you get the tips, you're like, well, let's see if this works.
Try it. Yeah,
if it doesn't work, don't do it.
So just get your tips from the first place guys first. Yeah, try those.
Yeah, try those people.
don't ask 87 people for tips.
Right. Yeah, exactly. At the same time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Smotherman's, was a proven bando. He's had that thing.
Yeah, they won championships in that thing. I didn't, but they won championships in that thing.
Well, so getting into that, though, what did you expect?
I expected, because of my results in karting, which, again, I'm not a road racer, so average third place finish. Because of that, I didn't expect a lot, but we came in, and, towards the middle of the year, we started running second, third, and right on the edge of winning. And then in September, we wrecked that car.
Oh.
And I was like, well,
I'm not laughing at you. I just
I was like, here we go again.
You found the edge and then you crossed it.
Right. Found the edge.
Remember that kicking the foot to the floor?
Went past the edge and didn't have a car to finish the season. So,
when you
I'm with you there.
Right. When you first got on that oval track, you didn't know anything about oval track racing at all. You came from karting, which is.
Yeah.
Basically mini road course.
Which is mini road course.
And then you're getting into oval track racing. What was your first experience like dipping in on that track and then just, feeling it out? Did you follow somebody? What were your game plan at that point?
I was instantly in love, put it that way, with the oval track racing. It just fell right in.
Right. Because now you're associating this with NASCAR racing and stuff like that. You've seen
on
the
dream that I'm trying to chase. That's,
right.
That's where you
step
in.
Absolutely. That's huge. So that's a good good way to put it too. And when you get into that first dipping on that track, that's that excitement, man. I get that every time.
I mean,
I don't care how many times I race.
To this day, you still get it.
Yeah. And that's cool. Even Gary can attest to that. You know, so when you grow up as old as him, you still get that.
I've never had that feeling.
Speaking of that, so when you first got your band, what gave you your number? You're number 98, right?
Yeah.
Is that number you've always had?
That is the number I've always had. I actually started using it in baseball.
Oh, cool.
And I don't know why. What number do you want to be for fall baseball? I'll pick the 98. That's about how that went.
And then it just stuck with you this whole time.
And I've so stuck cool. with it and embraced it and wrapped my life around it.
Yeah.
And now,
you know what?
All
that,
I use.
And that's going to stick with you, just like Gary's 65 and his 33. You know, I jump around. I try not to get too.
He can't make up his mind what number he wants to be.
I just throw around.
Yeah, he's just creating the collection. He's trying to collect all the numbers.
Print this number, put it on the car, and
right
on that.
Well, and then you go to single digit numbers, so it's more cost effective.
Because you're number one.
Cheaper decal.
Yeah, cheaper decal. You make me number one. Oh, cool. So 98 stuck with you from baseball. So that's cool.
Yeah,
it's something that you can, you know, talk about, you know, later on when you're running around, whatever names are running around the big track out there in NASCAR someday.
Yeah, we'll see.
That'd be cool. So the Bando racing you did, did you get a full season in?
So we did that in 2018, 2019, and 2020.
Oh, okay, cool. So,
so
you got a couple
I got
seasons
three
in.
Full seasons in.
Sweet. And by then your stepdad became a pro, right?
We had those Bandos. We had those Bandos figured out with the help from everyone. I mean, a lot of people like helping me, and I want to thank everyone who did, because they taught me a lot about Bandos, a lot about racing in general. And
you'd be surprised that even your stiffest competitors out there help you. You know?
Well, I have a little note over here that says you've helped a young lady named Gwen.
Quinn a little bit?
Quinn?
Yeah. Helped her a little bit with lying.
Not according to her dad.
Well, her dad might say something else. Might say her quite a bit.
Said, yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, that's what it's about, you know, helping each other. I know Gary's, you know, been out there helping. Like, he's got, just so you know, I don't know if he's mentioned, he has bomber experience, you know, actual streets, you know, I don't know what you call them, factory stock type race cars, you know.
Bomber, factory stock.
Yeah.
Ponies.
And, you know,
and
of course,
thanks, Mike.
Played.
I told him I've never raced.
You know, but that's what it's about, is helping each other out. And, you know, if you can make your competitor better, then you got to turn around and make yourself better, you know. And that's goes a long way. So it's cool that you're helping people as they're helping you too. So
yeah.
So you wrecked it and that ended your third season going into 2020?
That ended my 2018 season.
Okay.
And then we bought another car for 2019.
Okay.
We bought a chassis and switched the salvageable
parts
over and
was it a brand new chassis
from 600 and ran that, got a couple wins that year, broke through the ice, finally won a Bando race, which
Sweet.
Was awesome with the help of David Crouch and Matt Larson.
Oh,
so
that had to have been exciting, getting your first win, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty bad. My heart was beating fast the whole time. Had Corey Lynch right on my back bumper the whole race.
Did they give you a chance to get up in front of the fans and the crowd and say something?
It was Night of Fire.
Oh, no.
We had
the biggest
crowd there of the year.
That's the best race to win. And it has to be the Night of Fire.
Yeah.
The biggest race of Vegas' race every year.
Biggest
so.
Vegas race of the year.
That's
got out and
cool.
win the first time. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Did you stumble over your words or did you get a chance to thank everybody at that time?
I'm a quiet kid, so I definitely stumbled over my words.
You did backflips off the back of the top of the car, nothing like that.
Gosh. No, I hurt myself.
Well, that's cool, man. That's something that I think you'll always remember, and it couldn't have been on a better night as the Night of Fire. So that's cool.
And then won the next race back to school night.
Oh, cool.
And then fell off a cliff. But it's okay. Competition was deep in 2019. We had Lynch and Gresser and myself. We battled throughout the whole year.
Well, that's good, because if you got good competition, you push yourself, you know, to different levels.
Yeah.
In the Bandos, you know, obviously they're horsepower wise, they're similar. It's important to get out front real quick.
Yeah,
you know,
especially the bullring.
Yeah, especially the bullring.
You're wide open. it's hard to get her on. Someone has to make a mistake to get her on. And when they make it, you have to capitalize or you're done.
Do you ever get in a situation where you had to bump somebody to get gain position?
I mean,
accidentally.
If you hit them right, they're not going to wreck the car.
Yeah.
So, no, I haven't spun someone intentionally to get a position.
Have you been spun intentionally, you think?
I will not answer that question. I'm not going to hurt relationships or anything.
Well, you know, that's good because, you know, because sometimes, you know, we see things different. We may think, you know, or not think, you know, we got spun intentionally, but somebody else says, that guy spun you out. And, you know, hey, and we're out there just doing our thing. You know, we're not out there trying to make enemies. We're just out there to learn from our experiences.
Yeah.
So good answer.
Yeah.
I mean, you passed. So.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, probably.
So,
you know.
So is there anybody that you feel like you're they're like, they're always there, man. This guy, I just can't, or girl, you know, just can't shake them. Who is that on the track for you most of the time?
In the sense of like competition wise, like who I'm always around.
Yeah.
When you're battling up front, you're around pretty much anyone. And especially in the bandos, I was always around like Chloe Lynch and Landon Gresser in 2019. And then Owen Romzik this past year. And that was where we were at. So
have you seen like your competition out there doing something that you learn from?
Yes.
You know, like,
yes. Just tucking in behind them when you're learning, especially in the first couple of years, I was learning a lot and just tuck in behind someone and try and keep up with them and follow their exact moves. And
yeah. You know, and that's what it's about. It's mimicking the, you know, the people that make it happen, you know, that are up front, you know,
yeah.
I mean, that's just how it is. You're not going to try to learn from the last place guy. You're going to learn from the first place guy.
Well, you start by learning from the last place guy.
Well, that's true, because that's where we're at.
Because you want to pass that last place guy.
That's true.
And then you work your way up through the field, and eventually you're up there running with the top. And
Did you feel like horsepower, you know, is obviously always an issue, but in the bandos, in the division that you raced in, did you run in the young
It's
guns,
Bandits
or?
And Outlaws.
Okay.
I was in the Outlaws. I was over 12. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're.
So I had the full motor available to me.
Well, is that what the difference is? Or you got like a more of an open, I guess, motor?
Well, they don't put a restrictor plate on it. Outlaws.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But there's, you know, different things you can do, I guess.
Yeah.
You know. Do you guys see any gray areas in the rules when you?
Oh, there's always gray area. You just. Don't tell anyone you're in it.
No. You know, and that's just part of it is, you know, there's always some part of any division that guys push the limits on, you know, and it just happens, you know. So when you wrecked the car, got the new chassis, between that time to get the new chassis, did you know the difference? Is there any changes on the new chassis?
There was really no changes.
Really?
We just swapped what we had and put it over.
Same setup and kind of.
Well, we went to road course.
Oh, okay.
We came back and ran a road course season.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know,
you're not a road course guy.
Yeah,
road course.
So that's what you said. Which I don't think we had brakes the whole road course season. So it was like put the foot to the floor on the brake pedal and go,
oh, okay. Well, a whole new way of learning how to drive, right?
Yeah. And those bando brakes are. you get on them too hard and you're spinning.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
that's cool. Yeah. So what made you, I mean, did COVID make you change, or what stopped you from, you know, getting out of the bandos? I mean, what led to that, to decide to go into the Legends?
So,
because you're in Legends now.
Yeah, we're in Legends now. Ran two weekends in a Legend car, which isn't a lot, but it's fun.
It's something.
Yeah, but that's so. 2 days a weekend.
Yeah.
Two.
So. Four races, which is, it's fun. I love it. I mean,
but
it's
you like course. That road course out there?
It's a fun road course. Not a lot of passing spots, but that just makes it 9 times better when you, 10 times better when you pass someone.
Yeah.
Because, especially in a sketchy spot.
What happened to your bando? Did you sell it? You still have it? Or
We sold the one that we ran last year. Again, after the 2019 season, we ended up wrecking a car.
No,
so that tends to be how it's been. We wrecked the car at the end of the year. Luckily, last year didn't go that way.
Right.
Almost got fenced at Nationals.
Did you actually run the Nationals? Because when was that? October.
Yeah, we ran it. We hadn't run on the Hoosier tires all year. And, you know.
Did they have any races up to that the Nationals?
We did. We had a summer series at the Bullring and did really well. Like, we came out and won, I think, six of the races and traveled to Tucson and went up to Wyoming and Nebraska.
No. Slow down. You're getting ahead of me. So you only raced it locally at that point. So what was your first track that you raced outside of Vegas?
Havasu for Nationals in 2019.
Okay. So you went to the Nationals in Havasu, a new track that you've never been to. Did you get a chance to practice it?
I did. Okay. I practiced it the day before the event.
And that was in the Bandos.
That was in the Bandos. Okay.
Different track. You know, you got two groove track for the most part. I don't know about the Bandos.
Two groove, yeah. Okay. I found the top really early.
Okay.
And
good.
Stuck with it throughout the weekend. A lot of other people can perfect that.
Well, no, and then, I've seen many guys win, in different divisions on the top at Havasu. That's such a fun track. What did you think when you first got to that track, though? Did you think, hey, this is some rinky-dink, quarter-mile track at first, but then you get there and you realize, hey, these guys are professional here. They treat you real well.
Very well-treated track. I mean, they're amazing people.
And they are. More about the stands are always full, so hopefully they give you a good impression, because Havasu's, just a top-notch group of people there that run that track, and it's cool that it's a multi-groove track to be able to race on.
And you don't think for Bandolero Nationals that you'd have a packed grandstands, especially when they're only running like one of their main classes. But we had packed grandstands that weekend.
And, you know what? And they always do. That's Bill Rizzone and the whole crew down there and the whole staff, they just do a wonderful job packing the stands and getting the car counts out there and all that, so can't say enough about them guys.
Sadly, I wasn't able to finish that race.
What happened?
Wrecked and I wrecked off someone's front bumper, but it happens. It's part of racing.
Sure.
I mean, spent the night in the hospital.
Oh, no way. So you had a pretty bad wreck, huh?
Yeah, nearly broke my leg. We'll see.
Wow.
I mean, I can still punch it. It hurts to this day.
Well, you know what? That's might be one of those pains you just never get rid of. It always make a good story.
So
what happened there? I mean, you just, get an altercation with somebody else?
Yeah, I then hit in the rear end and sent up to the wall.
Oh, right in,
right in turn three wall, right where that opening's at.
That's probably the worst place.
Put the right front tire through the sidewall.
Oh, man.
Of the car.
Wow. That turn three wall's not fun.
No,
I've
not.
Visited it one time.
Yeah. Luckily, I missed the opening.
Oh,
right.
Because that would have been bad.
Right.
So,
you know, and it goes to show you, like, these are, the Bandoleros are purpose-built race cars, so they do a good job in keeping you safe.
They do a great job.
Broken leg. Did you get a broke? You actually broke it?
Maybe a hairline fracture. Okay. They couldn't spot it on X-ray.
Right.
But I believe that there was one.
Okay. It felt like there was.
It felt like there was. It still feels like there was.
Well, be careful, I guess. But it could have been worse. That's the safety they put in these race cars today.
The Bandoleros and Legends are both very safe cars. They're built around safety.
Does your mom go out and watch?
She does. If she didn't, she'd be like vomiting over a trash can.
She must have been like going out of her mind after watching you wreck.
Oh, yeah, she was scared.
I'm actually surprised we don't see mothers running out on that track.
She nearly did.
Right. Oh, you're right. And I don't blame them. Obviously, you see somebody out there that you you care about getting a bad wreck. That's the first thing you'd want to do.
For sure.
Gary's wanted to come out when I wreck, right?
Uh-huh.
Just kidding.
Every single time he wrecks.
After he wrecks me, by the way.
So, I go look at the car and then I go see if he's okay.
Yeah.
He's looking at how much damage
how much do I have to fix?
Uh-huh. How much am I going to have to fix this week? We see if he's okay.
But race cars are fixable. He's not.
That's right. Priorities first, right?
That's right, the cars.
So that sucks, to have that happen. How was you doing at the time till that happened? Were you doing halfway decent?
So I had to start last in the feature. heat race. Won the heat race, had an issue in post-race tech.
Okay.
Had a fuel problem.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. We had a little bit of Vegas fuel left in there.
And they actually teched for that?
Yeah. It was a national event. They had to.
Oh, well. Yeah,
they had to tech for it. And, oh, well, get to start last. Only one place to go.
Right.
And that's up. And we were in a battle for second for a while.
Wow. Cool.
Within like 5-6 laps. And last was like 13th or something, 14th. And 5-6 laps are in a battle for second, and then the throttle starts sticking.
Oh, man.
So I'm having to correct that, pull it back and with my foot,
right.
Put my foot behind the throttle and pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're in a battle for 8th now because I'm losing half a second a lap doing that. And that's when the wreck happened, about lap 17.
Oh, that sucks.
So just part of it.
Yeah. So that car was totaled?
Yeah.
At that time?
Front and rear.
Okay.
So wasn't going to reclip it.
So that was it for that car, and was that it for Bando's?
No, we went and bought another one.
Cool.
And that car.
Brand new?
Brand new.
Some parts over there,
there was nothing else. So we just bought a brand
just
new
all
car.
New. Okay.
Yeah, we just bought a new car complete.
Have they updated anything at that point on these chassis? I know, like, Legends, you know, they went to water cool at some point and all that.
They
have a few different changes and so
they
on.
Do a lot of changes on the Legend cars. The Bandos, we didn't see much
until
towards the middle of this past year when they implemented Hoosier tires.
Okay.
So nothing chassis-wise,
but tires.
But rubber.
Hoosier. Okay.
Yeah.
What did they run before that? Was it a...
It was... Like iNext branded. I don't know who actually produced the tire. But
so you felt like the Hoosiers were a lot faster, huh?
No.
No.
Depends on the track.
Okay.
So I didn't get much experience on them. We ran our iNext branded tires on the Bullring for the whole season because they're a lot bigger and takes about a gear off or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, see, I didn't think of that like with the different switch to different
bigger tire, bigger advantage.
Right.
And Nationals, they made it mandatory at the Bullring, which is why we struggled because we hadn't run the Hoosiers all year. And
new learning experience. Well, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So then, was that the last time you raced the Bando?
That was during the
Nationals.
That was the last time I raced it.
What was the decision maker for you guys to go Legends? Is this something you guys were probably thinking of?
We were thinking a couple options, and Legends was the best step. They teach you how to drive more. They're a lot twitchier. They're more like a kart. I'm gonna make that twitchiness. They drive a lot like a kart does.
Did it ever cross your mind like, hey, like different tracks aren't opening or different tracks, you know, with COVID and all that? Did that come into play at all?
Which is why we traveled a lot last year because.
But 2020 was supposed to be your breakout year, right?
Yeah.
So you were ready to go February 2020.
Yeah.
Legend, ready to go.
Well, February 2020, we were ready with the Bando, the last Bando season. And traveled and
so
the Bullring.
You did have, you said you went to Tucson. Was that the other track, the next track you
That was the next track we went to.
What did you think of Tucson? That
I love Tucson.
Super speedway of Bando. You probably could be 15 wide on that track.
Oh, very easily. But I love that track.
Really?
Went down there twice, won both times.
Did you run the top or the bottom on that one?
I used both.
Okay.
It depended on the lap.
That's a pretty fast track.
It's a very fast track for, Bandos don't have the momentum to get up next to the wall at all, but you can run the bottom or you can run right up off
mid.
The bottom.
Okay.
And I found both to be successful.
And you like that track, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
That track's fun.
Cool. Is it not because you just happened to win there a couple times?
No. It's because it's a driver's track.
Is it? Okay.
You have to adapt to it.
Did you race a lot of the local guys there?
Yeah.
So
they
didn't like you
travel.
Coming from out of town, whipping their butt and leaving, did they?
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to ask Mark Davis, who's commented on Facebook here.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it's cool when you go to a track like that and you figure it out, and you're able to be real, competitive as you were, obviously. So that's cool. Yeah. A lot of guys from Tucson, travel to Vegas and travel to different tracks, and it's cool to actually be able to reciprocate and go down there and race too.
And that was my first experience with the pill draw. Tucson.
Wow.
So those are interesting because you never know where you're going to start.
Right.
And you could have the slowest car in the field start first. It's very well possible.
Well, you know, that's excitement. You know, I mean, to me,
As a fan, you love it. As a driver, you hate it.
Well, you know what? It tests your experience, and then it gives you the chances to be able to test yourself. You know?
What I loved about it was down there, they give you points for passing cars. Mm-hmm. So if you draw last, and that slowest car draws first of all, you know that that's one car you're passing.
There you go.
And that's just the best part about it.
No, you know, that's good. It adds a different perspective to getting on that track and being competitive, especially with passing points. You know, some guys might want to start and back if they think they have a chance to move through the field. So, cool. Mm-hmm. What other track have you been to besides those two outside of Vegas?
We took a trip up to the Rocky Mountains and went to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and Gehring, Nebraska.
Wow.
And that has got to be the biggest learning experience I have ever had in a race car.
That's getting out there and doing some racing, huh?
We showed up to Cheyenne with our bullring set up. This is a 5th mile track. This is not a 3/8 mile super speedway. This is a 5th mile track where you're gonna have to drive the car. And we showed up with our bullring set up, bullring air pressures and everything. Man, that car did not turn worth a junk.
Did you start talking to the locals there saying, hey, what kind of gears you're running, whatever it is, tire pressure, things like that?
Yeah, we were fortunate enough. We found someone that wanted to help and get us tire pressures for the next weekend because that was bad, and we were able to borrow a clutch from Zach Morris. And
cool.
You don't realize that altitude and temperature changes your tire pressure.
Well, and spark plugs and everything and jetting and
anyone who's pulled a trailer up to Utah or Colorado knows that.
Yeah.
You get up over Summit and you look at your trailer tires and they're half flat.
That's
crazy. Did you think, man, what do we get ourselves into here?
Yeah, I did. I was expecting to go up there and run well like we did over here, and I went up there and got my butt kicked.
Well, you know what? And those experiences just add to, how well you're going to become as a driver and as a team, as a group .
In Cheyenne, we came home 5th, which wasn't bad. Led a few laps. I mean, I can't complain about that. Granted, I started pulling an invert, but
hey, it doesn't matter how you get it. Yeah.
Led 6 or 7 laps. And then about lap 8 of the run, the car just starts falling off when you're running big old air pressures on a short track like that.
Right.
And couldn't turn and was full fist to get it to turn. And
that's crazy. How was the track itself? Was it a well run track or was it odd?
It was well run. It's a little run down. Mm-hmm. It's old and up in Wyoming, you get snow. You can't keep pavement smooth.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you've got potholes in the racing line and you're just bouncing and
going through tires probably.
Yeah. Well, no.
Like sandpaper.
Yeah. It's practically sandpaper.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Did you run the Hoosier tires there? No.
We did not.
No.
We brought our INX branded tires and ran up there, which I found was also a disadvantage.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because those Hoosiers are better on the shorter tracks, which I now know.
Again, learning experiences.
Yeah. And then the next weekend, we went over to Gehring, Nebraska, which is about an hour and a half away, that's 2 hours away. And we had some setup help from some people. Well, not setup, but air pressures and gearing and stuff. And ran 2nd, led a bunch of laps.
Nice.
Finished 2nd both nights. Coulda, woulda, shoulda moments.
Were there guys from that track that frequently went to that track that you went to over there? Okay.
There are guys that frequently come down here and run.
Oh,
so
cool. Well, that's cool. I didn't know that.
I knew some of the competitors, which made it easier on me to learn their driving style.
Right.
So.
No, it's good to see a familiar face.
Yeah.
So. But that's cool. So, but that was the extent of the Bandolero racing.
That was
that
the extent of it, pretty much.
Well, I mean, that's pretty good bang finish.
Won 9 times, finished 2nd in West Coast points.
Cool.
Just didn't have car count here in Vegas.
Right.
So
You know, it looked like they were building for a while in the bandos, and they kind of started.
Yeah, it started falling off. It was about time to get out.
Right. Not good timing. So then, obviously, Legends was the next step for you. When did you go out and buy a new car? Did you go out and find one?
We bought a used car from TJ Clark.
Okay.
So that's what we did there.
You probably couldn't have found a better car than TJ Clark. So
yeah.
That's cool. And did you do anything with your Bandolera at that point?
We sold it.
Okay.
We sold it to someone. And
yeah.
Not going to disclose who has it.
No, that's
but
okay.
We sold it.
Right. And then put that money towards the
Legend. Towards the Legend.
Cool.
And
cool.
It's a great car. I love it.
So, and we're talking, this is recent. This is
a couple
new,
months
this
ago.
This is new. So
this is a couple months ago that happened.
And then.
Did you get the 7500 deal?
So then, you know, of course, comes along it's supposed to be a winter series, I think, the Silver State Road Course
Challenge,
you know. Yeah. What you thinking? You're thinking, oh, road course.
Back to road course.
I want to do this.
Back to road course, but
you got a Legend
car.
Now.
Right,
you got
a
Legend
car, and it's going to be a lot more fun. That was my initial thought. It's going to be harder to drive. It's going to be a learning curve, and I'm going to have to.
And at that point, you've never driven a Legend.
Never driven a Legend.
Wow.
I had launched out of first gear in front of TJ's house. That is what I had done in a Legend car.
Wow.
And yeah, that was it until we showed up to the track.
But that was probably exciting, right? You're like, yes, I'm ready for this, man.
Yeah, I'm ready for this. Let's hopefully not stall it 26 times like I did that time.
Hey, that's okay. Do it at TJ's,
do it at TJ's, not at the track. That's
yeah, ask TJ's neighbors about that.
Oh, they hate it.
Well, so then, of course, they were allowed to talk about it, the Silver State. Road course challenge.
That was in Mexico.
Moved
to Vegas
yeah.
in a couple of days.
That's,
you know,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, that not a lot of passing areas on that track, but that's not a track built for race.
No, it's not.
You know, racing. It's built for
a driving
experience. Exactly. So,
and,
you know, it's different.
And even with the Legends, you don't got a lot of room to pass.
No, it's the end of the track comes up very quick.
And so. From what I hear, there's a lot of turns that could make you throw up.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Where'd you get that one from?
it's a lot of quick left, right.
There's a lot of turns. Yeah, and somebody actually did have an experience out there that told us that the first time they went on that track.
12 turns out there, right?
12
13,
turns.
13 turns?
12 turns. They could probably market it as 13 if they wanted to.
Wow.
Yeah.
So your first time in the Legend is on that track, and what you think getting out there?
My first practice, I mean, my nerves were up, and I didn't think they were, but the people around me were like, you are shaking so bad.
Well, that's funny that you know, people can see what's happening.
Yeah.
You're feeling like, hey, I'm pretty calm.
I'm pretty calm, and I'm just sitting there going, holding onto the wheel. I'm like, okay.
Cool. Take some breathing lessons here. Relax.
Yeah.
You think, oh, I did road course before. It doesn't have to be that bad.
Sure. It shouldn't be terrible.
Then you realize the horsepower you have
then,
underneath you.
Yeah. First time getting on the gas in one of those, coming from Bandos to that, you're like, okay, this is 100 more horsepower.
Right? And you're shifting and
you're
doing all this stuff.
I nearly wrecked the car coming off of turn 12, putting the power down.
But you had a smile on your face while you were doing it.
Yes, I did. And that's the part about these Legend
cool.
cars. They put a smile on your face. So.
Well, you know, and I bet you can't wait to get that thing on an oval track.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, that's
I
cool.
cannot
I,
wait.
I wish it was at the Bullring, but we, of course, we don't know what's going to happen at the Bullring.
We don't know. There's rumors, but
yeah,
we don't know.
Again, don't know. But, you know, there's Havasu, there's Tucson, you know, other places that are going to give you a chance.
Hopefully Horn Show will open
or
back
Horn
up.
Show or
hopefully Horn Show.
You know, there's different places. So hopefully you get a chance to get on an oval track. But before we get too far out of time, I still want to talk about that. Are there any, you know, sponsors, family, people like that that you want to talk about?
So through my whole Bando career, I had Scott Miller with Creative Change. I had Rap City Las Vegas.
Do you
Mike
know
Canny
at Rap City?
I do, yes.
Oh, okay. They did my van, one of my
did
vans
they?
Before my one of my
yeah,
shop windows.
They're pretty
before.
Good.
Yeah.
Great people.
Yeah, great people.
So
I remember when they first bought their big machine, my van was, I think, one of the first things they did, did something off of there, like, it was that night. Anyways, sorry, I didn't know you're new people at Rap City.
Currently, we don't have anything on the car.
Okay.
Currently, we're looking for 2021 partners.
Okay.
And always looking. We're in talks with a few companies, and hopefully good news soon.
Well, you know what? That's just it. You know, young, up-and-coming driver like yourself, they where can they go to find more information about you? Is it your website or
BrendanRacing.com or Brendan Racing on Instagram and Brendan Tracy on Facebook, and our contact info is all throughout those places.
Okay.
And if you're interested, give
me
a call.
You know, your mom and your stepdad,
yeah.
You know, probably has obviously a huge influence.
Yeah,
on
biggest sponsor is the parents' pocket. That helps.
You know, it was funny because, like, I was in American Racing, whatever that place is over there, supply
yeah.
one time, and these grandparents were in there. I don't know who they were, who mm-hmm. they were buying for. They were telling the guy there for their grandkid, and
yeah.
They're like, "Yeah, we want that. I don't care what it costs. We want that." And then I was like, "Wow, those
wow.
are really cool grandparents.
Yeah, those are cool grandparents.
How could you get in on that family?" But I don't know who they were buying for,
yeah,
who they were, but it was cool to see that because,
yeah.
You know, like yourself, there's people supporting their up-and-coming, you know, racers and drivers
mm-hmm.
and the family. So, especially with Bandos, I mean, I can't believe the age, you know, people are getting into it. You're actually old getting
yeah,
into it.
I was old getting into it. I was really old getting
you're
into
10,
it.
You're 10, right?
So I was 12
yeah.
getting into
it. Oh,
Bandos.
Yeah, well, into karting was 10, and then, yeah, into Bandos. So.
Yeah. I was old.
It's crazy to think he was old getting into it. I mean, not too old, obviously.
Wow.
You know, because 12 is
and
pretty darn young.
16 getting into a legend car is old.
Nowadays, right.
Because you can get into those at 12, too,
it's
now.
It's crazy.
So,
yeah. So, you got to
I can't fit in
there. Can you not?
Well, you know, we're gonna have seniors for Bando racing. We're going to squeeze you in a Bando.
Yeah.
How about that?
Oh, that would be fun. Let's get that
I'm
series
scared.
On. And
yeah, there you go.
<I'm scared. laughs>
Oh, man, we have to push these things to the clutches. We'll get them going.
Too much weight. You can't move that much
right.
weight.
Oh, well. No, that's cool. So the Rap City did your 98
they,
car, or did they?
They did all my decals.
All your stuff? Okay.
All my decals and the Bandos. So.
Cool. Well, Gary,
anybody else you want to thank? Just
my family, my friends. I mean, they're all very supportive, and you guys for having me here tonight.
When is the next race coming up? Is it
Valentine's Day weekend?
So not this weekend, the following.
Yeah, 13th and
14th. 13th, 14th. Mm-hmm. So they actually extended the series. You
yes,
said right.
I don't have no dates,
but they added a few.
The next one is the 13th and 14th of February, and then. March 13th and 14th.
And then they're supposed to have dates lined up for a spring yes. series here soon.
Yeah.
So is that...
But we don't know them dates.
We don't know
yet.
Them
they're
dates
still
yet.
Working
so
on
are they doing points? Are these points races?
They're doing points for their series. It's sadly not INEC sanctioned for other reasons.
Right.
But they are doing points.
Okay.
So
if they do the winter series, then it's going to be just winter series points probably, and then spring... I would think.
I don't know about that. I'm pretty sure that's probably how they're going to do it, though.
Okay. Well, we'll see. So we're going to watch you race, sneak out there He's going to be there.
I'll be there.
Yep.
He will
He's
be
going to be there. So, but again, we're out of time. But thank
right.
you, Brendan, for being here. We look forward to watching you race, watching you expand your racing career. And we're going to have you back in after you win this Silver State Series race.
Well, that's not the goal, but thank you guys for having me.
No,
appreciate it.
Hope to be back soon. Yeah, we'll have you back out. We didn't even mention February 20th, the
Reese's
Barbecue. Everybody's welcome. You're going to be there. It's out at Sunset Park. We'll keep you guys informed, but we want you there.
Yeah,
parents, everybody's there. I'm over, but we'll see you live here next Tuesday at 6 p.m. at allworldsnow.com. Thank you again, Brendan. You can go to BrendanRacing.com for more information.
Thank you guys
for listening.